Now, back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Baum Show, TalkZone.com, 1-888-463-6748. And we welcome you in around the world where 95 countries can hear this show in over 4,100 cities. I've spent a long time as a reporter and a question asker in my life. Our next guest on the Baum Show has too, at a higher level, I would think. He's a guy that I've watched with interest over the years when he was a network newsman. Watched him with interest in recent years. Read with interest some of the comments he made more than 10 years ago about the nature of the business that he's worked in all his life and that I've worked in. He's a guy who's had a distinguished service career at CBS News and Fox and HBO's Real Sports, 8 Emmy Awards, 4 books later. He's Bernard Goldberg, author of, I love this, Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right. Bernie, welcome. Nice to have you on the show today.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me. The paperback, by the way, has just come out.
I've got a copy of it in my hands.
Hold it up to the microphone.
There we go. Get a shot of this on Channel 1, will you, folks? Lenny Dykstra.
That was a great...
Lenny Dykstra. Tell me about this guy. I watched this the other night, and you're a baseball fan, obviously. So am I. A big one. And I watched this guy. Has no very little command of the kind of English language that most people use in Wall Street, which we just talked about. But that must have been a fascinating one-on-one.
It was really fun. First of all, Lenny is not in the book, but this was an HBO piece I just did.
Right.
Look, Lenny Dykstra, if you just listen to him, forget about the content, if you just listen to how he talks, he makes Yogi Berra sound like William Shakespeare. I mean, Lenny does not come off, and he understands it, so this is not a shot at him. He doesn't come off as especially smart. And that's what made the story so interesting. He left baseball, and he's become a financial genius. I mean, a financial genius. Jim Cramer from CNBC, who really is a financial genius, who went to Harvard and Goldman Sachs, and started a hedge fund and got rich. He says Lenny Dykstra is one of the best stock pickers he's ever seen. Lenny Dykstra just sold 3 of his car washes for $55 million. And if this was a story about an athlete like Bill Bradley, who went to Princeton, who's a smart guy, whose father was a banker back in Missouri, we wouldn't do that story. What's the story about a smart guy going on to be a successful businessman? But Lenny, as I say, he sounds like Yogi Berra on a,
I'm fascinated, Bernie, by the fact that, A, the guy makes no bones about the fact that he doesn't read much, if any, at all, but that, B, what he did was, when he lost a couple of hundred grand to somebody who was supposed to be protecting his money, he runs out and he gets CDs and DVDs, reads them all, listens to them all, and that's where he gets his...
Yeah.
Background.
He lost more than a couple of hundred grand. He gave the guy $2 million when he left baseball, and it was worth $400,000. And he was furious. And as he put it, I don't read too good. So he got the CDs and the DVDs that you mentioned. And the lesson, I mean, there's really an interesting lesson here. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You know, you don't have to be at the head of the class. But if you're interested in something and you're prepared to work hard to become knowledgeable in that area, you know, if you have the passion and the energy, what did Edison say? Success is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. If you're willing to do that, you could be successful in life. And Lenny Dykstra is living proof of that.
Bernard Goldberg is our guest on the Baum Show, commentator, man who covers sports, man who covers hard news. What kind of fascinates me about some of the things that you said so long ago, and if we can roll forward to the present time, how do you really define the difference between a liberal today and a conservative today? Now, I'm not talking about the the old liberal definitions that we had back in the 60s and the 70s and even the 50s, or the conservative philosophy and definition of the old Goldwater and Bob Taft days.
Right.
How would you define him today? And is there much of a difference after what we've seen in Washington in the last 8 years?
There's a big difference in theory, but you're absolutely right that what we've seen in Washington the past 8 years is pathetic. The difference, just generally speaking, because, you know, you don't want to turn this into some long discussion about what is conservatism, what is liberalism, but the big difference that everybody can grasp is that liberals basically look to government for the answers to many of what ails us, many of the problems that face us, and conservatives look to individuals as the problem. Liberals believe in group rights, conservatives believe in individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives believe in small government, liberals believe in big government. Liberals are willing to raise taxes, conservatives want to cut taxes. But, and this is the point of the book, Crazies to the Left and Me, Wimps to the Right. The crazies to the left, we all know who they are. You know, the MoveOn.org crowd that runs ads like General Betray Us and stuff like that. But the wimps to the right, and this is what you are alluding to, I believe, are not conservatives. The wimps to the right of me are Republicans who don't have the guts to stand up for their conservative values.
That's what blows me away.
That's why
bigger debt than ever before. We just finished a segment prior to you coming on in which we're talking about the Republicans through the Treasury Secretary announcing a greater intrusion into federal government through a way to make sure that your investments are mine or safer after this debacle than ever before. Totally anathema to Republican conservatism.
Well, that's why the second part of your question was so important when you said, but how does it differ in the past 8 years of what we've seen in Washington? Well, when Republicans took over everything in Washington, both houses of Congress and the White House, and don't forget, Republicans are the grown-ups, the fiscally conservative ones, what did they do? They spent our money. It's important. It's not just money. It's our money that we worked and paid taxes and gave to them. They took our money and spent it as if they were Imelda Marcos in a shoe store. I mean, they went nuts. And the supposedly conservative president in the White House vetoed how many spending bills? Zero. So in that sense, and this is why your question was so important, what's the difference between liberal Democrats and Republicans when it comes to spending? Republicans spend just as much as Democrats. They're just as big on these ridiculous earmarks, you know, money for a tomato museum or you know, some crap like that. I mean, that's why one of the reasons, not the entire reason, but one of the reasons they got their rear ends handed to them in 2006, because they forgot what their conservative values were.
But can the American people, Bernie, expect more? Assuming, let's draw a hypothetical here, assuming that a Democrat recaptures the White House, can the American people, knowing what you've just said is true, expect more from either an Obama or a Clinton?
Expect more than what?
Than what you've just discussed has happened in the last 8 years.
Well, they're going to get worse than what I've just discussed. They're going to get more in the bad sense of what I just discussed. Look, conservatives, as you know, have their problems with John McCain, but he's going to be a lot better in terms of what we're talking about than either of the two liberal Democrats, you know, on the other side. I talk about the media a lot, and thanks for mentioning this thing that I wrote, it was more than 10 years ago now, in the Wall Street Journal about liberal bias in the media. But the media is in love with Barack Obama.
Yes, it is.
And because of this slobbering love affair they have, they fail to mention that he's a conventional liberal. He is for higher taxes on many individuals. He's on higher Social Security taxes. He's for higher corporate taxes. He criticized the Supreme Court when it came out upholding the ban on late term abortion. He is a conventional liberal. He can talk about, he has every right to say that he's different and portray himself in that light. But the media has an obligation to be something more than cheerleaders and say, just because he talks about change doesn't mean he's really for change. And he is I don't know where he and Hillary differ substantially on any of the important issues of our day. They're both liberal Democrats, and in that sense, they would be worse than a John McCain, although many of us are not enamored by John McCain.
Bernard Goldberg, Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right, New York Times bestseller paperback. Before we take a break on the Dave Baum Show, and our phone number if you want to be in touch, 1-888-463-6748. Let's talk about the media, which we've referred to, or which you referred to a couple of times. I can recall back in the halcyon days of CBS and NBC and ABC, correspondents like yourself, and we've been in touch with one of your former colleagues. I don't know if you liked him or not, Roger Mudd, who now has a book out.
Big fan of Roger.
Okay, and Roger is basically for the first time talking about some of the things that occurred in his experience at CBS. But my question to you is, if you take a look at then and now, let's talk about now. Who in the media today has the kind of news stature that the Goldbergs and the Mudds and the Cronkites and the others, like them or not, had 25, 30, 35 years
ago? First of all, thank you, you delusional lunatic, for putting me...
I've been called that before.
...in the same category...
That's all right.
...with those guys.
But you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about breadth from the standpoint of what you've covered.
This is a subject I'd love to talk to you about for 10 hours straight. Let me tell you what the biggest single difference is before I fail miserably in telling you who is in that category today. Even though there are good reporters today, for sure. The biggest single difference is that the management of CBS News, for instance, both the president of the news division and the head of CBS, the business side of things, respected news. So that in Ed Murrow's day, for instance, they would do important subjects, and Bill Paley, the guy who founded CBS, might not have liked the subject because it was too controversial, but he let him do it. Today, it's totally an entertainment medium. They don't do anything that they don't think will get ratings. They don't anything. So that in when I was at CBS, we just did what we thought was important, and with Cronkite, we happened to get big ratings. But today, if they don't think it's going to get ratings, they ain't doing it.
In other words, there was a distinct line between editorial, sales / marketing then, but today, not even a blur, just ain't there.
Yeah, I think there are good reporters today. I don't think that's the biggest difference between Roger Mudd and Dan Rather, even in those days, versus some of the people today, although there's a difference. But I don't think that's the biggest difference. I think the biggest difference is that today at CBS you have Sean McManus as president of the division, who's also the head of CBS Sports. And once upon a time you had guys like Fred Friendly, who was Ed Murrow's producer, or Dick Salant, who was a great president of CBS News, or other names that folks wouldn't necessarily know. But these people understood that news is not just another entertainment show. That's the biggest difference. In the old days, when Paley was upset with the news division would say, well, Bill, you have to understand, that's what we do. Today, the entertainment guys say, jump, and the news division presidents say, how high? They've sold their soul because they like the perks of the job. They like the money that they get paid. And like at ABC, they had Diane Sawyer once, a few years ago, do an entire hour on network television on Britney Spears. And Diane Sawyer, a bright woman, even asked her about her world-famous, you ready for this, her world-famous bottom, her world-famous rear end. Diane Sawyer's asking Britney Spears about her ass. I mean, this is unbelievable. And the once upon a time, this would never have happened in the time you're describing. Today, not only does Diane Sawyer do the interview when she should say, I'm not doing it, period. I'm not doing it. And she could get away with that. But the president of ABC News doesn't have a problem with that. That's the problem.
The Baum Show with Bernard Goldberg will continue with your phone calls, 1-888-463-6748, after this.